Well, turn in your Bibles, please, to the Gospel of Luke. To the 17th chapter. Luke chapter number 17. Before we minister the word today, I just want to tell you, it just came to me real strong while we were singing there. Jesus, we sing the song, "This is my commandment, that you love one another. You know that your joy may be full." Jesus has given us a command that we should love one another. And he said that this is how they shall know that you are my disciples, in that ye have love one for another. I just want you to know this morning how much I love you. And not because of the command of God, but while the choir was singing, And as I was looking at the choir, and I was looking at different ones of you, Jesus is all over you. And I know that Jesus loves me through you. Hallelujah. And I want you to know that Jesus loves you through me. And I just say to you today, I love you. I love you deeply. Each one of you. And I praise God for that beautiful and wonderful love that's inside. Now let's have a word of prayer. Ask God to minister to us out of the Word today. Father, we thank you for your promise that your Word is faithful, and not a jot nor a tittle of it shall ever fail. We thank you, Father, for your promise that as surely as the rain comes down, waters the ground and causes the ground to bring forth bud and bloom, in the same way your word goes forth and causes the hearers thereof to bring forth bud and bloom. We acknowledge, our Lord, that your word is you. And I ask you today, Father, that as I speak the word, that you would cause it to be rhema, spoken and alive in the hearts of every person who's gathered here today. My desire, Father, that this would not just be the word of God, but that you would cause it to be the living, active, alive, quick word of God today as it is spoken. And I pray, Father, that you would show us, each of us, something special today, something needful today out of your word, and will cause us to be more pleasing children unto you, better servants of the Most High God, better able to be used by you in the work of the kingdom. I believe you to do it just as I've asked, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. I believe that there's a desire in the heart of every one of God's children to do something of value for God. I believe there's a desire in the heart of every one of you that are here today that know God, to do something of value for Him. Otherwise, you wouldn't be here. Otherwise, you wouldn't have wasted your time to come to the house of God. And it would be a waste of your time if you weren't concerned about things of God at all. I believe that every one of you desire to be used wondrously and mightily of God. I believe that in the heart of every one of you that have become children of God is a hunger and a need and a desire to be used of God in a mighty way. To be used of Him in a way that will satisfy the hunger that's inside your heart. And I believe that there are many of you that are here today who know God. And you want God to use you, and inside your heart is a desire and a hunger and a burning to have God use you. But you're not satisfied yet with what God's doing through you. I believe God wants to talk to you today about faithfulness, about being faithful unto the calling of God. We're going to look at a lot of Scripture today because there's just a good deal of Scripture on it. We're not going to look at all there is. But in order to bring what I believe God wants us to hear today, we're going to have to look at several passages of God's Word. We're going to begin to read in chapter 17. I'm sorry, it's not the 17th chapter, it's the 19th chapter. Luke 19, beginning to read at the 11th verse. And as they heard these things, he added and spake a parable, because he was nigh to Jerusalem, and because they thought that the kingdom of God should immediately appear. And he said, therefore, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. And he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, occupy till I come. But his citizens hated him and sent a message after him, saying, we will not have this man to reign over us. It came to pass that when he was returned, having received the kingdom, then he commanded these servants to be called unto him to whom he had given the money, that he might know how much every man had gained by trading. Then came the first, saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 10 pounds. He said unto him, well, thou good servant, because thou hast been faithful in a very little, have thou authority over 10 cities. And the second came, saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 5 pounds. He said likewise to him, be thou also over 5 cities. And another came, saying, Lord, behold, here is thy pound, which I have kept laid up in a napkin. For I feared thee, because thou art an austere man. Thou takest up that thou layest not down, and reapest that thou didst not sow. He said unto him, out of thine own mouth will I judge thee, thou wicked servant. Thou knewest that I was an austere man, taking up that I laid not down, and reaping that I did not sow. Wherefore then gavest thou not my money unto the bank, that at my coming I might have required mine own with usury? And he said unto them that stood by, take from him the pound, and give it to him that hath 10 pounds. And they said unto him, Lord, he hath 10 pounds. For I say unto you, that unto every one which hath shall be given. And from him that hath not, even that he hath, shall be taken away from him. Now the Lord Jesus is teaching here in this parable about faithfulness, about being faithful in the calling that God has called us into. Now it seems that there are many in the body of Christ that want to be prophets, apostles, pastors, teachers, evangelists, workers of miracles, those possessed with the gifts of healing, those that would minister great healings and deliverance to the people that are bound in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, those that would proclaim the great and deep truths of God out of the Word by the revelation of the Holy Spirit, those that would command great and wondrous ministries, that all of the men of the earth would look upon them and say, surely there's a man of God, surely there's a woman of God, surely there's somebody who's got a good life in God and God's doing a wonderful thing in their life. But Jesus said, there's a little something here, children, that I want to call faithfulness over a little, that will determine how much I will give you authority over. There's a little thing here that says, he that has been faithful in a little, will I give authority and responsibility over much. But to him who is faithless in the little things, will I even take away from him the little that he has and not use it in the great things of God that he desires to be used in? I think it's common for us all to want to preach the great sermons. We all want to preach the great message of God before the stadium's full of people and have the sinners come rolling down the aisles, thick in the aisles to receive Jesus Christ as Savior. We all want to minister the great gifts of God. We all want to be able to lay our hands upon those that are bound and see the cripple walk and the blind see and the deaf hear. And the oppressed to be delivered. We want to see the alcoholics and the drug addicts and so on set free from their bondage, don't we? We want to see multitudes of God's people hungering for God. We want to see them come forward at our invitation. And we want to see God's Holy Spirit just wave over them. And we want to see them all gloriously lifting their hands and magnifying God in other tongues. But while we are preaching the great messages of God, while we are laying our hands upon the bound and upon the sick, who is changing the dirty diapers of the children that are in the nursery that belong to those that are sick? Who is mopping the floor where the oppressed person is going to fall when the Holy Spirit of Almighty God comes upon them and sets them free? Who is it that is going to do the praying? Who's the one that's going to get calluses on her knees or his knees? Praying for you while you're preaching the great message of God. Who is it that is going to clean up the paper cups and the garbage and so on after the service is over from the people that was here receiving from God? 2 weeks ago, I ministered out of God's Word on the subject of one body, many members, and that everybody has a place and a work in the kingdom of God. We talked at great length about the varied responsibility in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ and how Paul said that in a body there are all kinds of members. There are some that aren't very attractive, and those are the ones that you keep covered up. They're not comely, he said. And you keep them covered up, but they are all the more necessary to the functioning of the body. And yes, it's wonderful when the mouth preaches the great word of God and goes forth this wonderful, glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. But how about the big toe that keeps the whole body balanced so that the body can stand up, that the mouth can speak? How about the eyelashes that keep the dirt out of the eye so that it can see clearly? How about the hair that is in the nose that keeps the garbage of this world from going inside the body? Would you be willing to be the nose hair in the body of Christ? Now, some of you will think, well, he's just being gross. No, I'm not being a gross. Your physical body has hair in its nose. Now, I'm telling you that the body of Christ also has nose hair. Are you willing to be that? Now, I'm going to show you something out of the Word of God that struck me so this week, it just blessed me, and I knew God wanted us to hear it. He told me long ago, he said, "Son, don't try to teach my people something you don't know." He said, "You take what I'm teaching you, and you teach it to the people. And as long as I'm obedient in doing that, then we're all going to get taught of God, aren't we? We're all going to be ministered to by the Holy Spirit." See, if I want to teach you out of here, I'd be teaching you something you didn't need. But I'm going to show you what God is showing me. And when I do that, then I know that God, you see, wants you to have this. He wants you to see it. Turn to the 8th chapter of the book of Acts. When I saw this, it just blessed me so. Acts chapter 8. I want you to see the life of the man Philip, at least portions of his life today. Beginning to read at verse 5. Acts chapter 8, verse 5. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits crying with loud voice came out of many that were possessed with them. And many taken with palsies and that were lame were healed. And there was great joy in that city. Philip went down to Samaria and he had the unction and the anointing to preach God's word. And he declared Jesus Christ unto them, who he was. And as he did so, the people of that city who were a demon-possessed people, there was great sorcery in that city, they came to Philip's services. They came to his meetings and they gave heed to the word that he was preaching. And as they did, the power of God came upon those crowds and many of them were delivered from devils. The devils came out of them. Those that were lame and had palsies and terrible sicknesses in their bodies were wondrously and miraculously healed by the power of God in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. It isn't any wonder that there was great joy in the city of, Samaria. Then if you'll read down into the 12th verse, God's word records, when they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. There was a tremendous revival in this Samaritan city. A tremendous revival under the ministry of Philip. Now many of God's people will read this passage of the word and they'll say, Father, I'd like to be like that. Maybe not a whole city, God, but give me one person. Just give me my husband. Or give me my wife. Or give me my children. Do a miracle through me. Use me, God, in a mighty way. I want to see something happen because of my life. If you could do it through Philip, you can sure do it through me. Now that much is true. If he could do it through Philip, yes, he can do it through you also. Because God is no respecter of persons, and he doesn't elevate one any higher than the other. But let me show you something about this man, Philip, which I think we have not seen before. Turn back to Acts chapter 6. Many of you have learned this lesson, many of you have not. Many of us have learned it in degree. Acts chapter 6, the story of the early church. And in those days, when the numbers of the disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. Now you recall that in these days in the early church, in the formative years, right after the day of Pentecost, that in the New Testament church, the people of God, when they brought their offerings, they came and laid them at the apostles' feet. The apostles took those offerings and they made the daily distribution. They determined, in accordance with the leading of the Holy Spirit, how that money was to be invested in the kingdom of God. One of the things they did was minister to the physical needs of the widows within the church, those that had no children and those that had no husband and nobody to take care of them. And they ministered food and physical things to the widows. But it seems that in the church, the Jewish people and the Gentiles began to fuss with one another, saying that one group's widows were getting a better deal than the other groups. They were getting more to eat and better food. Verse 2, then the 12, that's the 12 apostles, called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, it is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch, whom they set before the apostles, and when they had prayed, they laid their hands on them. And what happened? The word of God increased, and the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith. Why? Because the man named Philip said, okay, I'll wait on tables. Philip was not called by God at the first to be a mighty evangelist in the city of Samaria. It was several years later before Philip ever went down to Samaria and did that wonderful great preaching under the ministry of the evangelist. The first thing God called Philip to do was to wait the tables on the old ladies. And Philip said, yes, I will. Yes, I'll look after the widows. Yes, I'll do what God has asked me to do. Yes, if the diapers need changed, I'll change them. Yes, if the grass needs cut and the weeds need pulled, I'll pull them. If the widows need transportation somewhere, I'll see that they get there. If the church needs mopped, I'll mop it. If the two-year-old's nose is running, I will wipe it. I'll do whatever God asks me to do. Philip was faithful in the little things, and God gave him authority in the great. Because he was faithful in the waiting on the widow's tables, God was able to take this man and use him in a sinful and wicked city to bring multitudes to Jesus. Now listen. Some might say, well, maybe he wasn't equipped to be an evangelist back here in Acts chapter 6, and all he was capable of doing was waiting on tables. I want you to see something. The disciples said, brethren, look out among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom. Philip was a man filled with God's Spirit. He was a man that had the wisdom of God operating in his life. He was a godly man already. And God said, no, I don't want you to go to Samaria and preach to the heathen. I want you to take care of the old ladies in the church. That's your ministry. Now, I guarantee you, if Philip had not been willing to look after the old women in the church, that someone else would have preached that great sermon in Samaria. Someone else would have been used by the Holy Spirit of God to minister deliverance and healing. Somebody else would have seen the lame rise up under their hand at the name of Jesus. Someone else would have seen the palsied people healed in the name of Jesus. Jesus said, he that is faithful over a little, I will give authority over much. But that's not the end of Philip's story. Philip continued to be faithful over what God had established him in. Go back over to the 8th chapter of Acts if you're following along. And you'll see that in the 26th verse, God gave Philip some instruction. The angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, arise and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went. He obeyed God. He arose and went. And behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of the great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure and had come to Jerusalem to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot, read Esaias or Isaiah, the prophet. Now he's got Philip hobnobbing with royalty. Here's the treasurer of the great queen of Ethiopia. God tells him to go down, and if you'll read on a little further in the story, he says, go join yourself to that man's chariot. And when Philip came alongside the chariot, the Ethiopian eunuch was reading the book of Isaiah. And Philip said to him, do you understand what you read? And he says, how can I know unless a man show me? And he says, come up in the chariot. So now he's riding in the chariot down the strip to Gaza. And they begin to read, and the eunuch tells him where he's reading. And Philip opens up the scripture and begins to share with him the word of God. As they're going along, the eunuch says, here's some water. What's to stop me from being baptized? Philip says, nothing, as long as you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. They stop the caravan, they get off, he takes this important man down into the water and baptizes him. The very next thing God does for him is give him supernatural transportation. It says that when they were come up out of the water, in verse 39, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. But Philip was found at Azotus. God used him wonderfully with this important man, and then supernaturally picked him up and transported him by the power of the Spirit completely to another town. Why? Because he was willing to wait on tables and see that the widows got fed. It is profitable, saints, to serve God in the little things. Now, God has given each one of you a valuable contribution to be made in the body of Christ. You are not to judge whether it's a good contribution or not. God says it's good, and He's called you to do it. Now, if you have the ability, God given, to do something of value in the kingdom of God, it might be nothing more than changing a dirty diaper. It may be something as wonderful as singing God's music. It may be preaching. It may be teaching. It may be none of these things. It may be some other things that I don't even know about, but God's speaking to your hearts this morning. If you want God to use you, then do what God has called you to do in the little things. If you'll not, God's word says, he that hath a little, even what he has will be taken away. The man that took the 1 pound and put it in a napkin and hid it said, I knew when you came back that you were a hard man, that you reaped where you didn't sow, and I was afraid. And so I kept it. I didn't want to risk losing it. Jesus said, the king said to him, take away what he has. The least you could have done was put it in a bank where it began to draw some interest. The least you could have done was put your ability to work for me. It is profitable to serve God. Now let me show you something else. In the 21st chapter of the book of Acts, we'll show you something else in the life of Philip. Those of you who are parents, listen carefully. If you have children, listen carefully. It is profitable to serve God even in the little things. Remember now, Philip was a man who waited tables. This chapter 21 of the book of Acts is 20 some years later. Sometimes we'll sit down and we'll read the book of Acts, and we'll read it in one setting, and we'll take us a couple of hours, and we'll read through it. We'll think all of this happened in a few months' time. The whole book of Acts took place in about 20 or 25 years, not a couple of months. Philip wasn't waiting tables one day, and the next he was in Samaria. Several years had elapsed. Now, in the 21st chapter of the book of Acts, it's approximately 20 years plus after the day of Pentecost. Philip has been ministering for God all that time. He's been faithfully serving the Lord Jesus Christ in everything that God has asked him to do. And some would say, is that profitable? Verse number 8. And the next day we that were of Paul's company departed and came unto Caesarea, and we entered into the house of Philip the evangelist, which was one of the seven, and abode with him. And the same man had four daughters, virgins, which did prophesy. Now there are two things in this passage of Scripture that I don't want you to miss. This is the same Philip who, after serving God for 20-some years, now Luke records that Philip, bless God, has four daughters. And you know what kind of daughters he's got? Virgins. Virgins. Holy girls. Holy daughters. Daughters that have not allowed themselves to be defiled. Virgins. Why do you think? Because Philip was faithful in the little things. Listen to me, parents. Philip was faithful in the little things. Bless God, he was willing to change the diapers. Bless God, he was willing to feed the old ladies at the table. And God gave him four holy daughters. And they prophesied. They were four daughters that God was able to use, that God was able to minister through. Now, those of you who have children will be able to receive what I'm saying. That is worth serving God for, if nothing else. It's profitable to serve God in the little things. Now I want you to see something about the life of Paul. Turn to the 13th chapter of the book of Acts. When you get there, put your finger there and then go to Acts 9. Now, don't you receive any of this as a history lesson. If you take this as history, it won't be of any good to you. It won't do you any good at all. It'll be of absolutely no value. You allow this word to come into your heart. Allow it to come in and be one on the inside of you, and it'll help you in your own Christian life. I want you to see how God uses His children. I want you to see how the Holy Spirit is working in your life. Verse number 15 in the 9th chapter of Acts. This is the story of the calling of Ananias the disciple to go and lay hands upon Saul, who was in Damascus, blinded for 3 days after having seen Jesus. And Jesus is here speaking to Ananias. But the Lord said unto him, Go thy way, for he, that is Saul, or Paul, is a chosen vessel unto me, to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. The Lord said to Ananias, I am calling Paul to an apostolic ministry among the Gentiles. His work will be to declare my name before the Gentiles and before the kings and also before the children of Israel. Now some would think that Paul was always an apostle. But he was not. Turn over to the 13th chapter and you read it with me. In the 11th chapter of the book of Acts, it's recorded for us that Barnabas went and got Saul from Tarsus, where he had gone, and brought him to Antioch, and Saul stayed there a year and taught the Christians at Antioch. Now in the 13th chapter, just follow me in the first verse. Now there were in that church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers. Now what was there at Antioch? Prophets and, are you there? What was there at Antioch? prophets and teachers. Does it say apostles? No. What was there? Prophets and teachers, all right? As Barnabas and Simeon, that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. All right, now tell me, what were Saul and Barnabas at that time? Prophets and teachers. They were either a teacher or a prophet. Do you see that? I mean, that's clear enough, isn't it? Saul and Barnabas were at that time teachers and or prophets. All right, now look at the 14th chapter of the book of Acts. In the 14th verse, which when the apostles Barnabas and Paul heard of, they rent their clothes and so on. All right, what are Barnabas and Paul's? What are Barnabas and Paul in Acts 14:14? They are apostles. Now something must have happened between 13:1 and 14:14. They became apostles later. God called them first into a teaching ministry. Being faithful in that, he anointed them an apostle, even though his purpose was in the beginning for an apostolic ministry. Now we could look at some other passages in there. I believe that his apostolic ministry was bestowed upon him in Acts 13, 2 and 3. And you can read that for yourself. When the Holy Spirit of God called him and set him apart, Barnabas and Saul. I think when you read that, it'll minister to you. The Word of God says that Jesus Christ, in Hebrews chapter 5, verses 8 and 9, Jesus, though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all those that would believe in him. It was something that happened to Jesus, not the way he was born. Yes, he was born holy. Yes, he was born sinless, but he was not born obedient. He learned obedience. God taught him how to obey through his lifetime, and he was made mature. He was made the author of our salvation. He became the fullness of God, the fulfillment of what God wanted a man to be. Through his lifetime. That's what God wants to do with you. And that's what he wants to do with me. But I want you to understand this clearly. If you or I are unwilling to change the dirty diaper, to watch the nursery. Now, these are the only examples I know. That's why I'm using these, all right? You make your own. To sing with the God-given ability that we have. To play the instruments for the worship of God with the God-given ability that we have. To pull the nasty weeds out of the bushes. To rake the gravel back up on the driveway. To come down here on Saturday night and mop this floor. Filthy thing. While we're going through these renovations. If you or I are not willing to do the little things that God has asked us to do, then don't you ever expect him to use you in the mighty meetings in Samaria. Now, what I'm saying to you today is this. Each and every one of us in the body of Christ have a place and a place of service and a position of ministry. And if God has called you to be nose hair, you be nose hair to the glory of God. If God has called you to be mouthpiece, you be mouthpiece to the glory of God. For Jesus said, he that is faithful in a little shall be given authority over much. But he that is not faithful, even the little which he has, shall be taken away. Now, I didn't say it, God said it. It's God's word. If you have trouble with that, you need to get it straightened out with God. There's no sense in trying to get it straightened out with me. You need to straighten it out with the Lord Jesus Christ, because it's his word. He's the one that said it. Now, I know that there isn't anybody who's here today that does not want to be used of God. I know that you all do, or you wouldn't be here. And the message that's in my heart today is simply this. God has established the way for you to move into deeper, richer, fuller places of service. But until we learn how to obey Him in the little things, He is not going to be able to entrust us with the greater. It's the same as it is in your own home. You entrust your children to greater and greater areas of responsibility as they demonstrate that they are able to faithfully discharge those responsibilities. It doesn't matter about the age of the child. The age of the child is not important. What's important is his faithfulness in little things. You kids want God, want your parents, you teenagers want your parents to give you the freedom to use the family car whenever you want. Then you see that the garbage is taken out like they've asked you to. You see that your room is straightened up like they've asked you to. You see that you're home when they have said it's time for you to be home. We earn the right, you see, to have authority and responsibility over bigger things in the natural realm.